Well, good evening, Mosaic family. Hey, if you would, please go ahead and stand with us and give a big old hug and welcome to all the folks standing around you tonight. Jesus and what he's done in the lives of his people tonight. Y'all ready for it? But this song's gonna require a little bit of movement, okay? So it's okay to clap your hands. And it's okay to move and get loose a little bit. Sing this with us. I waited.
And I waited patiently upon the Lord. Then he inclined and heard my cry. Out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he gave me beauty for ashes and joy for my mourning and praise for heaviness. He put a new song in my mouth and a crown upon my head. He gave me life.
Coming, man. I told myself I wouldn't do this, but it doesn't quite yet feel like we're celebrating Jesus in the room. And so our friends, our fourth and fifth grade brothers and sisters, they have a little dance move they like to do with this song. And it goes a little bit like this. It goes, that he's so good, so, so good to me. So good, so, so good to me. So good, so, so good to me, Jesus. Y'all got it, let's try it. So good, so, so good to me. So good, so, so good to me. So good, so, so good to me, Jesus. All right, here we go, let's try that.
He's been so good, so, so good to me. So good, so, so good to me. So good, so, so good to me, Jesus. He's been so good, so, so good to me. So good, so, so good to me. So good, so, so good to me.
Yeah, now you got it. And then check this out, because he did this.
And he turned me around and he placed my feet on the solid ground. Hallelujah.
Are y'all having fun yet?
Hallelujah.
Come on, let's hear it.
Because he picked me up and he turned me around and he placed my feet on the solid ground. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Sing it out, church.
Because he picked me up and he turned me around and he placed my feet on the solid ground. Hallelujah.
It doesn't stop with his goodness just like out there somewhere. That he's present, his Holy Spirit is here with us in this room tonight. And so we can sing a truth like this. Sing it with us, you'll pick up on it.
I got love, joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit.
Whoa, oh, oh, yeah, come on.
Whoa, oh, oh, yeah.
I got love, joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit.
In the Holy Spirit.
Oh, 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 yeah.
joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit.
Oh, 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 yeah, come on.
Oh, 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 yeah.
I got love,
joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit.
Family, we are so excited to celebrate with you this evening. You may take a seat.
Well, evening, y'all. How are you guys? Good. I'm a little sweaty because it's a little hot out, and I think you noticed it too. It's a great weekend. So welcome. I'm glad you're here. If this is your first time, this is not our usual service. We're doing a special thing tonight, a big baptism service. So I'm excited that this would be your first time. And otherwise, I'm glad you're back. My name's Matt. I work here with families, and what a weekend we have ahead, Memorial Day weekend. It's such a good time, time with family, time away from work and the doldrums there, time just to be around each other. And so I wanted to start just with an offer of gratitude to the veterans that we celebrate on Memorial Day, those who have given time and given of their relationships and given of their days and their bodies and their months and their years, even to the point of their very lives. And so we can celebrate today because of the extreme things that they've given on our behalf. And so I wanted to just thank those folks. Yes. So we got a couple of things then in mind, and they feel very much part of that mentality of being thankful for the freedom we have. The first one is the Fellowship Worship Team has recorded a kids' single, a new song that is online. You can get it on Apple Music or Spotify or wherever you find music. You can go online and find it. In the front of your communicator, there's a web address that has all the links to it and lyrics and songs and all those things. Go listen to it and download it and play it for your kids. It's very fun, and it's just celebrating the freedom that we have in Christ. It's a great song. I think we've actually sung it in here maybe before. I know we've sung it at camps retreats. Kids have been singing it for a while, but it's a great, great song. And then second is at the end of the evening, when we're leaving here, you have an opportunity to pick up these cards. We've done this a couple of years now, and camp is Camp War Eagle out on Beaver Lake is a really close partner organization with us. Next weekend, you will notice if you're here second hour, even first hour, the energy on this part of the room over here is going to go through the roof because there's going to be a lot of really excited people here that have just been in weeks and weeks of training, and they're here the night before camp starts. Camp starts next Sunday. And so one of the things that one of the really practical, simple things we said, this is a way to support friends and support this ministry. Man, we're free to teach and preach the gospel in this nation. It's a cool thing. And these counselors, you can go pick up a card. It's got five names and faces on it of people that will be doing any number of roles. They'll be teaching classes. They'll be fixing food in kitchens. They'll be living in cabins with a dozen smelly kids for a week or 2 weeks. And so it is just an opportunity for us to pray God's blessing over their ministry and their time. And so if you would, grab one or two or five or however many you think you could actually pray for, and pray over them. And then there's a little opportunity at the bottom of the card. There's an address at camp. They love getting little notes saying, I'm praying for you, or a gift card for a meal on a day off. They normally get about, like, it seems like 12 hours off or something, so it's just exhausting. And so if you want to just treat some friends that are brothers and sisters in Christ doing ministry in Northwest Arkansas, take that opportunity. It's out in front of us. So I want to pray. I wasn't going to pray, but I want to pray because I think it's a good thing to do. And so would you bow with me and pray with me? God, it's a good thing to celebrate stories of people, individuals coming face to face with you and knowing that you love them and knowing that their sin doesn't push them too far away from you, but instead you see that sin and you take it upon yourself. And so we're just humbled. Those of us that that's our story. This is a time that we get to just watch other individuals time and time and time again get dunked underwater and be visually reminded of the grave. And then as they come up and our hearts swell with joy, we are reminded of the empty tomb. And so I am just asking today, Lord, that you would be in this place, in this time, honored by this. And also just stir in our hearts. Let this be a holy celebration, a celebration set apart, different than just a party or a silly thing or a fun adventure time. But may this just be a sincere moment of being with you. We love you. We pray in your name. Amen.
Well, family, if you would, we are so excited to celebrate what God has done in the lives of many of our brothers and sisters here in this family. But I'm also really excited because this is a really sweet opportunity and a really sweet night. Not only because two of my own children get to be here and get to feel a part as a family of families, they get to be a part of this community. So I'd ask, would you go ahead and stand with us tonight? And as you stand, would you just look around you at the faces and at the individuals, at your brothers and sisters that are in this room? Just take a moment and scan from the smallest of children to our friends and our family directly that's here with us. Just take a moment and just thank God, man. Thank you for letting me be a part of this community, family. And scripture tells us that in this very moment right now, creation is declaring God's praise and groans that are too hard for us even to understand. And we have the opportunity tonight to come before a holy and perfect God and to join creation in giving him the praise he deserves. So would you sing with us?
That all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing.
but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love.
Come together as a family and to worship together, young and old, as one family before you, Lord. Thank you so much for this opportunity to lift our praises to you. God, to celebrate what you are doing, have done, and will do in the lives of your people. Thank you, God, for each of those that have chosen to follow you and are here tonight to declare that to their family and to the world, Lord. Thank you that they have chosen you. Thank you that you pursue us, that you love us, and we're never too far from you. You come for us, God, because you love us. Thank you for sending your Son, Lord. Thank you, God, for his sacrifice so that we can be with you, Lord. We love you, God. And Lord, as we continue in worship, will you just let our hearts cry out to you tonight, God? Amen.
Well, kiddos, we're glad you're in here tonight. But if you notice, this may be a little different than what you are used to in your classrooms or over in 4 or 5, wherever you are. But you may have already noticed some of the adults, they like lift their hands like this when they're singing. And you're like, why do they do that? Am I supposed to do that? And it's actually a beautiful posture. See, what we do when we raise our hands, one is like this. Go ahead, let me see them. Up like this. This is a declaration to God that, God, this is true of who you are. So as we sing this, that I am a child of God, this is true, Father. But then there's also, friends, you may have seen some folks hold their hands like this. And go ahead, let's see it. This is an act of receiving. That, God, I want to receive this. I don't feel like a child of God, but I want to. Lord, would you help me receive that? And so I invite you, we're about to sing this beautiful song about what Jesus did for us on the cross, not only dying for our sin, but rising 3 days later to invite us into that story. And I'd invite you, whether you're a third grader or whether you're a 30th grader, if you need to declare tonight to God, this is true of who you are, and I am not afraid to show my family that I'm proud of it. Or maybe it's been a tough season and you need to receive. God, I want this. I want this good news and this bad news in my life. We invite you now to worship God and posture yourself before Him however you need to. Sing this with us.
Oh, the life you gave, your body was broken, your love poured out. You bled and you died for me there on the cross. As you breathe your last, as you were crucified again, oh, He gave it all.
Sing it out, church.
Hallelujah, what a Savior.
And not only our Savior, but a friend.
Hallelujah, what a friend.
And not just a friend, but a King.
Hallelujah, King forever.
We say thank you.
We thank you.
Tonight to remind ourselves of that truth. Because because of the death you died for us. But more than that, the life that you raised us into. We come into this room tonight to remember and to celebrate. Pray for every man, woman, and child in this room that you would allow us to be more aware of your goodness and your mercy. It's in your beautiful, precious, celebratory name we've gathered. Amen. Friends, you may take a seat.
Amen. Hi, everybody. Oh, what a privilege. This is one of my favorite nights of the whole year where we get the chance to baptize people into the family of God, into the family of Mosaic. I mean, seriously, is it good news or what? It really is. It really is. And we're just going to take about 10 minutes before we get them lined up and start the baptism to look in our Bibles together at really a great story about baptism, one that some of us might have heard before, but I think a lot of times it kind of enters into that category where you just kind of read past it. The highlighter doesn't hit it a lot. And so if you have your Bibles with me, will you take them out? Can you turn with me to Acts chapter 16? Acts chapter 16. And this is a story where we have two guys named Paul and Silas, and they find themselves stuck in prison. And when I read this story, feelings actually start to come up, feelings that sometimes I like to describe like don't you wish moments. Like, oh, I wish this kind of stuff would happen to me. I wish really cool, big, really awesome faith things like this would happen to me. It'd make it so like more fresh, more real, more easy to believe. And yet as I've meditated on this, I think these same kind of things, I think they're happening today. I think they're happening right now here in Northwest Arkansas. And so let's, Acts chapter 16, I'm going to start reading. We're going to kind of read it in a couple different chunks of verses, starting in verse 25. Listen to this. It says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. Now, if you've ever heard me preach before, I feel like one of my only strategies is ask questions that don't seem to get asked a lot. So here was my question. What do you think they were praying about? Because I feel like if I would have been there and I would have been in chains in the middle of the night, I would have been praying, Lord, will you cause something to just get me out of here? Is that what you would have been praying about? Yeah. And yet, did you notice? When the earthquake came and their chains came off, did they run away? Did they take off? Did they take that as an answer to prayer? We hear you, God, and off they go. Is that what happened? Well, spoiler alert, no, that's not what happened. And so I've wondered, is that actually what they were praying about? Because I have this feeling that there's bigger things that Paul and Silas are praying about than just their negative situation, just their unfortunate circumstance. I actually think they might be praying that God, how would you use this sticky situation that we're in? Maybe they're even praying gratitude, praying thanks, like, Lord, thank you for giving us a captive audience. Thank you for placing us with people that basically have to listen to us. And so they're chained to these people, and I notice that, but here's something that I like. I like that Paul and Silas, they just live their faith out loud, right? I mean, get this. Here is two guys that they've clearly articulated. Their job is to plant churches throughout the entire world, to places that have not heard about Jesus. They are going to the ends of the earth. Yet do you read this story and think, wow, they are really unsettled right now. They are really feeling like this is a big, fat waste of time. Do you get that? You really don't. They just are present. They don't even have a great evangelism strategy, do they? No, they're just praying out loud. They're just singing out loud. They might not even be good singers. But they are just worshiping God in the situations that God has planted them, and God does something really unique. You know, this week I saw a post that caught my eye because it reminded me of Acts 16. It was a story about a member of Mosaic. Some of you know Shane. He's a doctor in the area. And I want to read to you. I just cut and pasted exactly what was posted on social media. I want to read for you what she wrote. She said, 2 years ago this very morning in a trauma room, in the violent rigors of prescription opioid withdrawal, after being highly addicted for 18 years, I met Dr. Shane Holland. He did not shame me, accuse me, or tell me that I deserved the hell I was suffering. Rather, he treated me with dignity, respect, compassion, and mercy. I remember vividly everything that went on in the 10 hours I was in that trauma room. Up until the moment, Dr. Holland asked me if he could pray for me. And though I had no recollection of what he prayed, I just know that a transformation in my life began as God spoke to my very hardened heart. As I was being rolled out of that emergency room to celebrate my second year of deliverance and freedom, as I reflect on how God has transformed my life, it almost takes my breath away when I consider the power of one prayer from a soldier in the army of God on the battlefield of his life. If you read my post to this point, please don't congratulate me for being 2 years free, but rather let's honor a doctor who unashamedly recognizes the most necessary procedure to obtain the highest standard of care in any medical crisis is prayer. Does that not sound like Acts 16? In the context of his work, in the context of the places that God sent him, Shane lived his faith out loud. See, I think in my life, and I wonder if in yours, a lot of times I view crisis as a glitch in the system. I see the bad things that happen to me and go, why, God? Why would you change my circumstances? But Paul and Silas, they see as a faith out loud opportunity, a chance for redemption to be seen. Dr. Shane sees sickness, despairing situation, as an opportunity to live his faith simply and out loud and simply believe in the power of prayer. And remarkable things happen. Let's keep reading. Verse 27. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Don't harm yourself! We're all here!" And the jailer called for lights and rushed in. And trembling with fear, I get a kick out of that this is the point he's trembling with fear at. Not earthquake, not about to skewer himself with a sword. It's when he walks in and he sees them. Trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" I'm intrigued that it's not the supernatural crisis earthquake event that gets this man's attention, but it's the faithful act by a few prisoners. He sees their steadfast prayer. He sees their probably below average singing ability in the middle of the night, but he sees their posture amidst what certainly would result in squabbling and fighting and complaining. He sees something different about them, and he wants it for himself. And he asks a really good question, doesn't he? Clearly, I don't have what these people have. What must I do to get it? What must I do to be saved? And I think the answer is important because I think it's very reflective of what we're about to witness. 31 says, and they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them that same hour of the night and washed their wounds. He was baptized at once, he and all his family. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them and rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. So the progression, number one, they believed. They didn't earn it. Their works didn't get better. Their acts didn't justify it. It was a matter of faith. Secondly, the word of God was spoken to them. You know what they did? They responded to the word. John 1 says that the word became flesh. I like how the message says it, that the word of God through his son Jesus made his home in our neighborhood. Jesus made his home through his word in the jailer's heart. He hooked their heart and drew that jailer unto himself. Third, I love this one. There's evidence of the Holy Spirit. Now, granted, I have never seen the resume of a jailer. Anybody? But I have to believe that on top of the list is not hospitality and empathy. I don't think that they're looking for a very tender-hearted man. And yet, notice what happens. As soon as he believed, as he receives the word, he notices their wounds. He cleans their wounds. Then he brings them home to their house at midnight. And then he feeds them. What do you think his wife was thinking at that moment? She's lived with the jailer for years and years and years, and now this empathetic, tender man leading these prisoners in, and he says, "Hey, sweetie, can you whip up something? These aren't prisoners, they're family." I think it had an impact on the family. So much so that what it says next is that they responded in baptism. It points out that this was an immediate response, a symbol that would show the church the inward change that has very really happened is now symbolized in an outward expression. And then lastly, I love this, that belief is multiplied. Belief is multiplied. A lot of people, when they read this passage, they kind of notice a few phrases that don't make sense and they just kind of discredit the whole story. Phrases like, "Him and his whole family were saved. Him and his whole family were baptized." But here's my personal view. We don't see the timeline. I think this man got home and his family, his kids, his wife noticed, this is a different man. It's amazing what happens when the supposed leader of a home actually leads, stopping his passivity and walking in the Spirit as a leader. Responding to what God has called him to be. The last phrase of that line says, the family sees it. They rejoice along with his entire household that he believed. They saw, they had joy. So tonight is cool. Tonight is a sweet moment for these 12 family members that are going to be come up here, baptized by dads, by pastors, by friends, by family. Their testimony is the same. Some of them might share it a little bit. A lot of them have said, "Please don't make me talk into the microphone." But if they could and if they would, here's what they would say. They have believed that Jesus has grabbed the hold of their heart. Jesus has tugged them to him, and they have responded to the word of God. We have seen evidence of the word that has been active in their life. Not only have they responded to the word, but we've seen evidence of the Holy Spirit in their life. These 12 right here, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, you can taste it on them. You can see it. You can touch it. Because the Holy Spirit is acting and is new and is fresh and is real. And so what do they do about that? They respond immediately. They want to be baptized in front of their church, not alone. Notice none of them said, "I want to be baptized and I did it last night in my bathtub." They came and said, "Church, I want you to see this transformation, this outward sign of what's happened inwardly, so that you will know me, so you'll hold me accountable, that you disciple me in faith into maturity in Christ." And here's our expectation, 12, eye contact, eye contact, eye contact. Our hope, our prayer, our expectation of the church, me speaking for all of them, is that this faith would be multiplied. That you would be so impassioned by the work of God, the work of the Spirit in your life, that your next move is to go where you live, work, and play and live that faith out loud. Amen? Amen. If you have questions of how to do that, we're so glad you're a part of Mosaic, because we talk about it when we gather and we talk about it when we scatter in our small groups all over Northwest Arkansas. We will not let you off the hook. You are not alone in this. But we have big hopes and big expectations for what is to come. So, what do you say we start dunking some people? I've been told multiple times that my only effectiveness besides teaching is to be a human boom mic. So all I'm doing now is hold the microphone for my friend, you.
Chris, I'm Chris. And this is Williams, my son William. So you're pulling under the sand. Over the last couple years, we've been talking to William, and he's expressed his faith in Jesus, and he wants to make that public tonight by being baptized. And so I'm really excited as his dad to now get to baptize him, my brother in Christ. So, William, because of your faith in Jesus and his death and resurrection, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Zane, it has been a pleasure to walk with you this year. We've gotten to hang out and eat way too many burritos. They've not been that great, but it's been good time nonetheless. And I'm just proud of you. I'm proud of your awareness of your own sin. I'm proud of your awareness of family life and situations and your desire to care well for people there. And I'm just excited about your humility to lead in kids ministry and to love your friends well, and you're just a good dude. And so the greatest thing about this is that this today I don't think is about you, and you haven't made it about you. You've been very clear that it's about the Lord and what he's done in your life. And so but it's just an honor to get to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So.
Alice, and pretty excited to be here with you. Love you and love your family a whole bunch. And we were talking recently about why she wanted to be baptized, and she believes in Jesus, that she's forgiven from her sins, and that she's loved by God. And she's been talking a lot with Jenny. Okay. Yeah, you snuck up on me. Yeah. And your leader here, and I just think it's a beautiful picture of the ministry that we're all a part of. And so is it your testimony that you believe in Jesus? You want to follow him all the days of your life? That means a lot of good things. We talked about that you're a daughter of God, that you're cleaned forever, and no one can take you from his hand. Nothing that you face can change that from here on out. And so it's my honor and privilege as a brother to baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Asking about baptism for a couple years now, and so it's something that we have talked about, and he's definitely excited about tonight. So Noah, I've got a couple questions for you. The first one, is it your testimony that Jesus died to put an end to all your sin and that he rose again to bring you new life?
Yes.
And are you willing to follow him all the rest of your days?
Yes.
And it's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
These are my friends Skyla and Rachel. And it has been a very special and a really exciting year for me with Skyla and Rachel. I've known them since they were just little, just babies. And not only do I get to baptize both of them, but this is finally the year that I can tell them apart. This is Skyla and that is Rachel. And this last year, Skyla, getting to see you grow into a young woman who loves and fears God has been one of the greatest privileges of my heart, of our community's heart. And it has just been a delight to see you genuinely know and love God and want more of him. So it is a great privilege. So I have some very important questions. First, do you love and believe that God sent his son Jesus for your sin? And is it your testimony? Is it your testimony that in front of your church is a symbol of that change that you want to be baptized into this body of believers?
Yes.
Awesome. This is Rachel. Rachel, I have the same questions for you. Rachel was the one who said, please don't make me speak into the microphone. I said, I won't. Just a short solo will be fine. Rachel, is it your desire before your church to communicate that your old is gone, the new has come, that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God who takes away your sin? Good. Then again, in front of your church, would you like to be baptized as a symbol of membership, of family, and belonging?
Family, if you go ahead and stand with us as we continue to celebrate this evening. In the name of our good and perfect King, sing this with us.
Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. My sin I left a crimson stain.
take a seat.
Well, hey, Natalie. You excited about this? A little nervous about it? Good. This is a special thing, isn't it? To get to, in front of all these people, talk about what's going on in your life and your heart, and to show them, and by means of baptism, what's already happened, that you love Jesus and he loves you. Is that true? Yeah. And so we talked about how when you get dunked and you get brought back up, it reminds everybody here about Jesus going to the tomb and coming back to life. And that means something to you, doesn't it? Yeah. So... it is an honor to get to baptize you and demonstrate and be a part of showing everyone that you believe that Jesus died for your sins and rose again. And so grab your nose. Here we go. In the name of Christ and the Holy Spirit and the Father, here we go. Joseph, you're the littlest of the Rubios, but you got a big personality, don't you? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And Joseph, you know that Jesus' love for you, shown on the cross and even in the resurrection, saves you. And you believe that he really did die and rise again, don't you? Yeah. And so it's an honor to get to baptize you. Grab your nose. We're doing this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Rubio. Michael has an amazing mom and dad who have been telling about Jesus for a long time, and so he's kind of slow cooked, if you will, in this faith. But it was a couple of years ago at a camp where he finally came to understanding of how much God loved him and what God has done for him. And Michael wants you to know tonight that this is a symbol of his faith for how much he understands, and not only how much he understands, but how much he loves our good and gracious God. So, Michael, is it your desire in front of our family here tonight that you want to put your trust in Jesus Christ as Lord? Absolutely, man. Well, here we go. Hey, buried in Christ with baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Raised to walk in a newness of life, dude. Come on.
This is my granddaughter, Jocelyn. Exactly a year ago today, she mentioned to us that she wanted to be baptized. And so the past year, my wife and I has been praying with her, praying over her, and teaching her. And she has come to a decision that she wants to be baptized. Jocelyn, is it your testimony that you know that Jesus died for you on the cross and that you want to show your church family that you want to follow him in all your days?
Yes.
It's my honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Woo!
this is my daughter, Sydney, and her family and I are so proud of her. She's known Jesus and loved Jesus since she was a little girl. And this past year, she told us how much she wanted to walk more closer to God, and that her faith, we've just seen it mature and blossom, and she told us she wanted to be baptized. And so, Sydney, it's my honor to baptize you tonight in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
This is Bo, and after time in this ministry and conversations with his parents, Bo, is it your testimony that you believe Jesus as Lord and Savior? Yes. And will you walk with Christ all the days of your life? Yes. Well, it's my honor and privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism. Ways to walk in newness of life. Woo!
And family, let's stand and sing tonight. Who could imagine so great a mercy, what heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross is broken, I am forgiven. The King of kings calls me his own.
So don't forget to grab a prayer card. There's some in the info booth in the foyer. There's also some out at the party. And so if you want to, please join us. We got free hot dogs. We got all kinds of fun stuff out there. Time just to play together as a church family. And so don't miss out on that. Mosaic, we love you. And we'll see you next week.